Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of How To with Dean Clifford. This is Tony, your host, and it is Thursday, December 13th, 2012, and I want to apologize for starting the show late. As you can tell from the sound of my voice, I came back from Cuba with a nasty cold. I'm kind of really out of it today. But I do have Dean on the line. Finally, we got him on the line, and Dean is going to be talking to us today about contracting through the person. Dean, are you with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, so while I get myself organized here, you take over?
Yeah, not a problem. I think we're even now. I've had to change dates a few times, and you're late now, so we're on equal footing.
Okay.
We can keep it short tonight, too, if you're not feeling too well, by the way. Because we're halfway till this coming next Monday as well, too, so we can just do another show, so it's no big deal. But, yeah, you know what, especially a couple of talks I've had with a few people over the last week and a half with regards to the show and a lot of the material we talked to has, I have to agree, there's some concerns out there that some of the specific questions that people are asking me for help with, especially regarding mortgages and some more advanced stuff, without some greater understanding of people actually researching the person and getting familiar with trust law and then reading up on administrative law, there's some concerns a lot of the people that are going to take some of the information here and they're going to just go off and start firing off letters and causing a lot of problems. In fact, it's kind of funny. I went down to the legislative building here on Friday last week before I headed out to go on my little trip out to Saskatchewan. I went down there to go see the Deputy Minister of Justice, and I was fully intending on offering them a little bit of an olive branch here and seeing if they want to talk before things really get kind of nasty here and I really start going after the province, which I fully intend to do here right away. And they don't want to speak to me at all. They know me by name down there. I went into the office there for the and this is what happens, and this is why I'm actually kind of bringing this story up. I want to warn people what happens when you just start firing stuff off, because that's what I've been doing for the last 5 years. When I got angry and I really didn't know what was going on a whole lot, and I would learn something new, so I would just start firing off letters and going after people and causing problems and really making a lot of noise, because no one else was really doing this stuff, and no one really seemed to want to listen to me. So at the government there, so I just kind of went off on them, and I went down to go see the deputy minister there on Friday, and walked in there and talked to the secretary real quick, and as soon as she found out, as soon as she got my name, Dean Clifford, she's like, oh, Dean Clifford. I'm like, yep. And she's like, well, he's not going to see you. I said, well, he's not going to see me right now, or he's not going to see me, period. And she's like, both. I'm like, well, he's the Deputy Minister of Justice. He's Queen's Counsel. He kind of actually has a duty and an obligation to see me, and I have my ID there with me and everything as to who I am. And they were just having none of it. They were just being real, real arrogant pricks down there. So that's kind of like a catch more flies with honey kind of story, is if you're just going to get angry and start bombarding them with paperwork, not really knowing what you're talking about, and not learning all this stuff first, because you have to fix a problem fast. The only reason you got to know about the common law movement, if you want to call it that, or natural rights, or your trust, your estate, is that you've got an immediate problem, you want a quick fix now, and you're going to rush into stuff, and you're going to learn that 2 + 2 = 4, and then you're going to go off and try to do some very complicated mathematical equations, knowing almost nothing about what you're doing, which means you're going to get yourself in trouble. And then, of course, I'm going to be the one to blame at the end of all that, because, wow, that dean said to do this, and it's not working, or whatever. Like, it really doesn't matter. Not that I care, because, again, if you're listening to me and you're going out and doing this stuff without learning, you're getting yourself in trouble. I don't take any personal responsibility for that, because, well, do your own homework. I'm just trying to wake people up here. So we should step back and really be looking at some rather basic concepts again, because in the end, what people are going to come right back around to figuring out at the end of all of this is there is no superior paperwork that's going to get you out of trouble. If you don't know who you are, and just not believe their bullshit anymore. Is what it comes down to. You have to stop believing their bullshit. I've got some perfect examples of that. So I'm actually, we'll get on to what I think we were going to talk about the contracting thing here, but this has relevance with contracting with your person. Is that the biggest thing people have to realize with this is stop believing bullshit. Okay? For instance, I just had a conversation with a gentleman tonight that a lot of people probably know, and I met up with him for coffee in Winnipeg, and we were talking about this, and some concerns were raised about that Meads versus Meads case, and how him and a bunch of other people have been trying to dissect it and find what they're really trying to say in it. And I came right out and I said, look, I've already said this. It's a red herring. It's nonsense. It's made to get you researching, thinking that this is some real decision that impacts you, when it's really just utter lunacy. It's nonsense. It means nothing. Their only power is convincing you that their shit is real. That's it. There is no supreme definition of some word that's going to get you off the hook. There's no fancy document and a half a page of lines that you sign, that you file into the court record, that's going to get you off the hook. You have to stop consenting and believing their horseshit. That's the biggest thing here. Again, when I was out in BC, they're starting to use this Meads versus Meads decision now, and the three people, myself being one of, that I've heard that they've actually brought this up in, the Meads versus Meads decision, when it was brought up in mine in the private prosecution for me starting my action against the RCMP, because I don't want them to think that I'm anywhere near done. That was my first volley. The judge at one point brought up, well, Mr. Clifford, and it was a lady, so obviously I'm not trying to impersonate her voice perfectly. She said, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there was a recent decision in Alberta lately regarding the very types of things you're trying to bring up here today. By the name of Meads versus Meads, and I just said, did you really just bring that up? Yeah, I've read it. It's nonsense, and I really hope you don't subscribe to such lunacy. And as soon as I said that, the lights must have gone off. Oh, shit, okay, they're not going to believe that pile of crap. Time to move on to Plan B. So then let's just go on to your next charge. They didn't want to talk about it now, because it's crap. It's utter crap, and I let them know that I think it's crap, and I'm not going to believe any crap in it, because it is nonsense. And sure enough, a week later, not even a week later, 5 days later, they're bringing up Meads versus Meads in another guy's case that I'm helping. He went in on a traffic charge, and it was his first experience foray into the courtroom. He just wanted to get his toes wet, and 5 minutes into it, of course, the judge goes right into Meads versus Meads. And thankfully, I'd brought that up with my friend who was with me at the private prosecution. And as soon as the judge started bringing up Meads versus Meads, my buddy spoke up and said, I've read that. First of all, it's his own opinion, which I don't care about. And second of all, it has absolutely no relevance to what's going on here today. So I'm not even sure why you're bringing that up. And then the judge didn't want to talk about that no more. They moved right along to the next thing. Okay? They need to convince you that their power is real. This really is just the Wizard of Oz. It's pulleys and levers and flames shooting out of some retard's mouth in a booming voice trying to elicit fear out of you. That's all this is. They have to get you to believe their nonsense and be afraid. Okay? Oh, man, this isn't working. This isn't working. Ah, we got him now. He's afraid. Okay? Fear. Again, it's their only weapon. I just heard another story today about the same thing they did to another guy. They arrested a guy, dragged him into the jail, and they're throwing paperwork in front of him. You're going to sign this. You're going to sign this. You're going to, threatening the guy. Literally. I mean, their bluff was pretty intense on this guy. And he just stuck to his guns and said, look, I don't care. Your stuff is horse shit. Here, you want me to sign it? And then he'd start writing right across the paperwork they wanted him to sign. You physically threatened me and told me you're going to harm me. But as soon as he starts writing that across the document, they're pulling it away from him. They don't want him filling that form out like that. He was out a few hours after that. They can't do anything. They're trying to convince you that they have authority. And they want to see, they're pushing you to see how much you really believe that you're free, that you're equal, that you don't have to obey this crap. And they're going to threaten you more and more and more and more and more. Okay? So I wanted to go off on that because everybody seems to think that they just learn how to draft this perfect document, that they're going to be left alone. No, you have to stand your ground. It's not a document. It's not a phrase. There's no magic chant. If you rub your belly counterclockwise while tapping your head, spin around three times and chant a magic phrase, that's not going to, there is no magic dance, okay? It's all crap. So having said that, that's the first thing people have to realize. I'm always asked by people, what book should we read? Where should we go and read? And I think, Tony, did I bring up The Great Controversy yet with you? That book by Ellen White? If you're listening even?
I think you mentioned it once or twice.
I did mention it once, and people usually ask me what the relevance of that book is. And I usually want people to go read it and then get back to me and ask me or tell me what they thought the relevance of that book was. So I'm not going to explain why people should go read that. Go read it, and then I want people to send some messages. Oh, and by the way, there is going to be a website now. No specific solutions, but I'm going to try to help people understand, and myself as well. You got to remember, I'm always learning new things, faster and faster now, ahead of most people, probably behind some people out there. There are people out there that probably have got this figured out 20 years on now, and they just like to sit back and see how long it's going to take everybody else to figure it out. We're all just on a big learning curve. But the DeanClifford.info finally has some graphics. We finally have some links. No new videos up there yet because I just got home. I got court in the morning. I got to do a motion tonight. This is civil matter, by the way. So I'm going to get some new material up on there right away. I'm going to stay away from specific solutions because, again, once people see what's going on here, there's a million different solutions. A million. Because it all boils down to contract law, and that's why I'm kind of leading into contract law here a little bit. It's how you want to pilot your ship. It's all contract law. What do you want to do with it? Because it is yours to do something with. No, and I think, again, I've brought this up in the past, that I believe this is why contractors usually figure out the scam first, or we're the first to start being able to have more control over it, because we're the first to start realizing, hey, wait a minute, this is no different than me contracting. I'm the one who picks my terms and conditions of my contract. I'm the one who dictates the price. It's up to other people to accept my terms because my time is mine. It's no one else's. No one can tell me what to do with it. No one can force me to do anything. But if they are going to force me to, at the very least, I have the right to say how much it's going to cost and what my terms and conditions are. And that's what contracting is, right? So, if somebody had told me that, and sorry, this is where the logic comes in, logic. People always want to know what other books to go read, Okay, this is very simple. I've said in past episodes, if you want to become smarter, read something that a smart person wrote. That's just logic, isn't it? The other book I've brought up a few times now that I think people should read, and there's an online version of it, is somebody had years ago directed me to The Great Controversy. And that book got me through my first real serious court matter. And it has nothing to do with law. Well, you don't think it does. But you will, after you read it, if you think about it, you're going to realize later on it has everything to do with law. Everything to do with law. And that got me through my first court hearing and removed all fear from me. But it took me halfway through the 3-day court hearing to finally, the 3-day trial, it clicked, and all of a sudden I wasn't afraid anymore. And since that day, they've never been able to do anything to me, because I have no fear. I don't fear these people at all. I'm not stupid. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail. But you can't scare me by threatening me with that anymore. I don't care. I don't care what you do to me. I'm still not going to do what you tell me to, right? They don't like that. So the next best thing after that is, well, hey, if you want me to do something, let's discuss the terms of the contract. And that's where we get into contract law when we start contracting through the person. A friend of mine was just in court today. I don't want to speak about the particulars of his matter. It was I'm going to be speaking with him actually afterwards because I want to get more details. But he went in there, and he actually got the judge, obviously, to admit that, no, you're not the person. And then told the guy he can't help him unless he agrees to be recognized through the person or recognized as a person. And I could probably get onto more about that later when I find out what I can talk about, what I can't talk about. I'm very big on keeping private matters private, but this is not a problem speaking about this part. And I think the other side, the other party, was okay with seeking an order for the judge to make a ruling that the man and the person are separate. And the judge ended up actually interfering and telling the counsel for the other party that they probably don't want to go there because that's quicksand they don't want to get into, kind of hinting at, well, you're going to lose if you go there. I can't help you if you want me to make a ruling that the man and the person are not the same. Okay, this is not news. We know the man and the person are not the same. It's like me having a contracting company. I am not my construction company, but I make up several components of it. Okay, but that's why they try to say you're indistinguishable from the person in their world. And you are, because they can only see you through it. That doesn't mean you are the person. It means you make up components of it and be the right components. We've discussed that in other episodes. So now, once you want to start taking control of your person and you want to start contracting through it, and isn't that interesting that the judge actually told this guy that he has no remedy in that court unless he agrees to act through the person? And I've said that very same thing to him before, and I've told everybody here on that show that before. They only recognize you through the person in their commercial world. If you want to take part in it, you need that person. If you want to abandon it, sorry, go ahead.
I don't want to even interrupt, but I just want to let our listeners know, because I've been trying, ever since we started here, to get the chat room going. For some reason, Blog Talk Radio is having an issue with the chat room, so for our listeners who normally ask questions on the chat room, you're not going to be able to. So either you have to call in or post them up on the Facebook fan page. If you want to call in, it's 646-478-5728. Once again, it's 646-478-5728. And I apologize. I just can't seem to get the chat room going. Back to you, Dean.
Okay. So about that, feel free to abandon. If there's people out there that don't want to learn, they don't want to figure out what's going on, they don't want to benefit from this opportunity they have to take part in the commercial world, and there's some really good stuff out there that we can do with all this, then you can abandon it. You can just refuse to ever be recognized as a legal person, and go right back to common law and not deal in any of this nonsense. In fact, that was confirmed by the same individual, the same judge, that you can actually do that. And there are still common law courts, and they're here, and apparently you wouldn't get into where they are and whatnot, and that's all I'm going to say on all that kind of jargon. But for those of us that want to use the person, we want to start contracting through it, this goes back to books that people are asking what they should be reading. Well, if people want to know how to contract through their person, maybe one of the first things that they should pick up is a book on, a law book on contracting, how to build a proper contract. That's just logic, right? Like, people shouldn't need me to tell them that if they want to learn how to contract, that they should get onto Amazon.ca or Amazon.com and type in how to create a contract. Because there's specific laws on creating a contract. And if you read through that book and you discover how and what builds a contract, you may start to realize that almost every time we're contacted by the government, that's what they're doing, is they're trying to construct a contract. Every time they contact you, it's a solicitation, and they're trying to contract with you through your person. And because you don't know how to contract, the terms of the contract are going to be undesirable on your end. Okay? But again, once you start to learn what a contract is, then you start to realize, okay, well, a lot of the things the government has tricked me into or suckered me into or made it appear as though there's a contract, it turns out there isn't. Because a contract is only binding when both parties come away satisfied that they're both getting equal consideration from the contract, right? Why would you ever do something for free? Why would you ever do something you're not happy about? If you don't feel you're getting a good end in the deal, why would you ever do something? And that's what valuable consideration is, right? If you got tricked into doing something for a dollar that you didn't intend to do, well, it's not really a contract because you don't feel you've been compensated properly, right? And that's a matter for civil court. And you can actually go to court and be awarded extra money if you've been handed dealt an unfair hand in a contract, right? Fair market value. There's lawsuits all the time where somebody got underpaid and they take the other party to court and they end up getting fair market value for what they did. So learn how to contract. Get a book on contracting and read through it, and then you'll probably start to see all the little invisible strings the government's got out there trying to ensnare you into contracting with them every time. So that's one. Another thing is, too, is people have heard me talk about administrative law before, or sorry, administering your person, administrating. The word administrating has probably come up a number of times on all these talk shows, and of the three different law forms that there is, administrative is now the world's most common and widely used form of law, administrative law. So if you want to learn how to administrate, well, it turns out there's a Canadian professor that wrote the book on administrative law, and I'm trying to think of the name of it right now. I think he lives in Victoria, BC, and he's taught at just about every major university of any real importance in the world. And he wrote a book on administrative law, and it's a Canadian book on administrative law. And it teaches you what administrative law is and how to administrate something according to their system. So that might be another valuable thing to read. And that's three books that I've now mentioned. There's a really good contracting law book, and I've got that written down somewhere. I think I even downloaded it somewhere. But there's no real right or wrong contracting law book. The administrative law one, I can look it up maybe and post it on the Dean Clifford .info site later for when I start doing some blogs on there to help people and give them some direction here. But I don't think I'm going to give people specific examples of what to do in specific circumstances anymore because I don't think that's going to help matters. I don't think that's going to get people to start reading and learning a broad range of topics to be competent and actually be well-rounded and actually learn things, right? You don't go to high school just to learn one topic. You got to learn a bunch of different topics. Otherwise, you're not a very well-rounded individual, and it's not going to help you anything. Help you anyways. So now we've got the three books that I guess I would recommend before people want to go out and start contracting. I think the administrative law one is 1,200 pages. And it's probably going to be a bit of a tough read, so it might take you a month to read. Contracting law book, you could probably beat through a contracting law book or a contracting book in about a week or two, I would think, if you find a good 800-page one or maybe even a 400-page one. And The Great Controversy, if you can find a copy of that, probably only online, you want to read through that. That's probably going to take you a week or two. So you're looking at three good solid months of reading just to become even remotely competent in either of those three topics. And I say that's just the start. I mean, you go to high school for 12 years to get a crappy degree that does nothing for you. Don't expect to be a pro at this in a month. And you shouldn't be doing anything until you're competent in it. But until you are, I think that's why we're still going to, you and I are going to talk about the courses there, Tony, yet about trying to help people through things until they do become competent. So I think that's something we're going to maybe start try to get out there in the next few weeks, maybe first week or two of the new year, into some basic stuff that people can give them some direction until they do become competent. Because I know there are people out there that CRA is starting to hammer now. There's people that are having 95% of their paychecks garnished, and things are getting real nasty out there, and I attribute that, and that's a good thing. People should always find the good in everything. when it becomes so blatant and they're harming people so badly, that can only mean that things are getting close to the end of what they're able to do. The last official act of any government is the looting of the nation. They will loot everything they can as they know things are starting to fall apart around them. I wouldn't expect to see CRA around in another year or two. I think that whole system is falling apart.
Well, just like I told you before, Dean, is when we first discussed the idea of the university program and the courses, that the timing for it is just perfect right now, because this is when people need it the most. And I don't know if you've been reading some of the comments on both the Global Fact group and the fan page, but a lot of people are anticipating this and they're waiting for it. And they keep asking, people sent me email directly to me, to Tony at globalfact2012.com, asking, have you and Dean worked out the courses yet? And I keep telling them, no, we haven't, but we're working on it. And it's not something we can rip up in a week or two. It's definitely, there's a demand for it. People are telling me they would be willing to pay the monthly fee for it. So it's a well-anticipated program, I think.
Yeah, and again, it's more about, to be honest with you, when it comes to this, less is better. And it turns out that you're actually better off when you verbally hold your own against CRA. People have to remember that the back when I first battled with them, it was almost every single meeting was verbal, where they were trying to instill fear in me and get me to file, telling me what they were going to do to me if I didn't. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're not going to stop coming after you, and all that kind of crap. And then it turned out the solution for me, anyways, we'll see, maybe they'll decide to come back after me because I've been trying to help people so much, but I don't recommend that, was me simply saying, okay, and that was what I was getting into the contracting thing. It was as simple as me sending them a letter. I believe, I mean, who knows why they just kind of stopped real sudden-like and didn't want to contact me no more, but it was right after I had sent them a letter saying, okay, look, fine, you guys want me to do all this? You want me to file these returns? Not a problem. Here's what I'm going to need from you. And I've told this story, I don't know how many times, and all it was, look, I charge by the hour. I'm not an accountant. But if you want my accounting services for some odd reason, this is how much I charge per hour. And because I don't trust you people, because I think you're a despicable, disgusting corporation that does not pay their bills, so I have no reason to trust you, I'm unable to extend you credit, which means you have to pay me up front. So just as soon as this is how many hours it's going to take. This is, you want 3 years, which means this many hours times this dollar amount per hour, which means just as soon as I get this much money, I'd be more than happy to carry out your wishes. So that poses a big problem for them. Because now that is contract law. They can't force you to do anything for free. And they can't prove that there's an existing obligation for you to do anything for free. They just want to terrify you into doing it. And I spoke last time about this, and I got no problem with the CRA thing and giving people more specifics on that than anything. Believe me, and again, the mortgage thing, do not fight the banks until you're competent in banking. They're better than you. Don't try to go after a mortgage and have it extinguished until you understand what a mortgage is. Because there's no little phrase. I mean, even the stuff I was talking about the other week on that, how would you know if half of what I said is even true? Are you just going to take it on my word and just run into court and make yourself look like a moron because you heard it on Global Fact Radio? Do your own research. If you can't defend what you're saying, and believe me, they're going to ask you. They are going to ask you. They're going to ask you to explain why you believe that to be the case. And if you can't explain it, well, then you're full of shit. And they're going to know you're full of shit. And that works in reverse also, by the way. If a judge can't explain his determination to you, if they can't explain anything to you, then they're full of shit. Right? This is all just logic. This all just goes back and forth. If I can't explain something, then I don't know what I'm talking about. And if they can't explain it, they're either unwilling or unable either way, you'll win. So, we can get into the courses with CRA, but really, these little simple tricks, and we should be listening to what we're told by these people in court, to be able to turn everything around on them and flip it upside down, because that's all they do to us. Income taxes are an easy one, simply because how many times have we heard that we don't have a license to practice law, so we can't interpret acts and statutes? I've heard that I don't know how many times. That's, oh, maybe you need a lawyer to explain that to you because you know, you don't have a license to practice, and well, without a license to practice, you're not qualified to interpret our statutes, because it is private law. It's private Canadian statutes. It's all internal to the government. It's Tim Hortons, and unless you're Tim Hortons and you have a license from Tim Hortons to interpret their policies, it doesn't matter. That's why you need a lawyer to interpret them for you, apparently, so that you then understand them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my lawyer explained it to me, so I understand it. Oh, good. Good. Now we got consent, and you understood everything. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, this was my solution to CRA that I've given to a lot of people, and whether they understood it and used it properly, I have no idea. But if, we've covered this in one of the shows, if they want you to file an income tax return in accordance with an act you've never seen and they cannot provide a certified copy of, and they want you to assume all liability for filing in accordance with this act you've never seen, and that you have no license to interpret, meaning you're not even qualified to interpret it in the first place, and they want you to do this for free, and then they want you to sign your name to it and assume all liability for what you filed, and you actually look at what I just said, and that is the facts about what an income tax return is, you'd have to wonder how we've ever been ignorant enough to have ever done one in the past. And that's all you have to do is ask one of these people, say, am I understanding this correctly? Is that what you're asking me to do? Are you asking me to file an income tax return in accordance with an act I've never seen, that I'm not qualified to make any determinations about? You want me to assume all liability for this personally, meaning I have to pay any debts that might result from this, and you want me to do it for free? Not a problem. If that's what you want, I got a contract offer for you. I want you to come to my house. I want you to put this chain around your own neck. I want you to pound a post into my front yard, and I want you to lock the chain around your neck to the post in my front yard. And then I want you to sit there all summer and eat my grass as it grows. I want you to do this for free, and then every day I'm going to come out with a steel-toe boot on, and I'm going to kick you in the ass as hard as I can. And you're going to sign an agreement saying that this is all fine and dandy. That's about the equivalent of what an income tax return is. So if you're not renegotiating with them and saying, okay, well, hang on a sec here. Number one, if I file, it's with the understanding that I'm not liable for any of this. Number two, it's with the understanding that I'm not even qualified to make interpretations about your Income Tax Act. Number three, it's with the understanding that I've never even seen your Income Tax Act and that you can't provide me with a certified copy to even read in the first place. Four, I'm not doing it for free. I charge this amount per hour or any portion thereof, minimum 3 hours. It's going to take me 50 hours to get this together. Whether it takes me 1 hour or 50, I'm billing you for 50. This is my hourly rate, and because I know you people aren't going to pay your bills, you're going to pay me up front. Those are my terms and conditions. Do you understand that? That should be, that's contract law. That's contracting. Okay? And they're trying to solicit it from you. They're trying to solicit something from you. You have every right in the world to negotiate terms and conditions and to not work if they don't meet those terms and conditions. Performance. You're not compelled to perform unless you agree to the terms and conditions. If you just agree blanket without condition, then you've agreed to all of their conditions, and you don't even know what those are. But you did it by signing income tax form. And once you understand what's going on, how insane is that whole situation? That's insanity. They must sit in their offices and laugh and laugh and laugh that people actually fill these things out. So, contract law. Learning how to contract. Get a book and read one. If I went onto Google right now and I wrote in how to draft a contract, how many hits do you think I'd get, Tony?
I don't know. Probably lots.
Probably lots. So, take your pick. Again, if everybody got the same book, everybody would be doing the same thing. And if there's anything that I want to avoid in life, it's an entire planet full of people doing the same thing. Not only does it make it easier for the government to defend itself from you when everyone is doing the same thing, but it's really boring when everyone's doing the same thing. I like a little bit more excitement at that. I kind of want to shake things up a little bit. It's kind of boring around here.
Yeah, and I apologize for that because I don't want to talk too much today because I'm all sounding too nasal, and plus, if I talk too much, I'll start coughing on the air, and I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to save my voice for when the Q&A period starts, so that's why I'm leaving you do your own thing on your own.
Okay. To be honest with you, I honestly think that's all we really need to speak. That almost is disappointing about contracts, because what else do you really want me to discuss about how people can learn how to contract through their person? We've already talked about how to establish who you are within your person, and there's more I could go into about that. There's much higher information we could talk about with regards to the person and who you are within it, but no one's going to understand it. You're just going to get yourself in shit. So there's no point. Okay? Again, in your first day of grade 1, or 2, I think it is, maybe, where you start talking math and you have little blocks in front of you and the teacher says, okay, here's 2 blocks and here's 2 blocks. Put these 2 blocks together and what do you have? And everybody goes, oh, 4. Okay, good. You understand math. Okay. Now, let's talk about a non-constant velocity curve. Okay? Which is like first or second year calculus. You're going to get a lot of blank faces. And you could probably walk them through it, but it's going to be completely meaningless. It's going to get lost on them. And if they actually tried to build, for instance, an atom bomb with the plans you just gave them to build a bomb, it's not going to work, obviously. So there's no point in that until people get, I'd say, more caught up. I don't know what number that is. So, having said that, now you know to go and buy a contract law book, how to draft a contract, how to any of those kind of things, right? And get smarter in those fields. So now when they try to negotiate with you in court, or they try to negotiate with you down at the CRA office, or they come to your front door and they want to negotiate, or a police officer wants to negotiate with you on the side of the road, you will know how to negotiate and build a contract. So, contract law book, contracting book, how to draft a contract, how to negotiate contracts, any of those kind of things. Get a book and read it. And then next week, when the new episode of American Idol is on, or Dancing with the Stars, or whatever pile of vomit is on TV that they're really hoping you're going to watch so that you get even dumber than you are right now, when your friends call you up to discuss last night's episode, you can say, actually, I was reading a contract law book, and I learned some really fascinating stuff. right? And then we get smarter. Administrative law. I could probably look up that administrative law book, the name of it, but you know what? Why don't everybody else do that? Just go on to this wonderful new thing we have called the Internet and just look up administrative law, Canadian administrative law. And there's only two books, I think, that even come up, and the one is going to be from that old feller there that that lives in Victoria, the professor, and that is supposed to be the definitive book on administrative law. So now you got two books to buy and order online. After that, let's see, we've already talked about the IFRS and the controversy, just because if you want to lose fear and you want to understand how to not fall for their crap, that's a real good one. And then after that, we've talked about how the person is a trust or an estate on previous episodes, I believe, haven't we, Tony?
Yes, we have. And if any of the listeners haven't heard that episode, you're welcome to visit our archives. They're all there. I just want to let you guys know, too, that they are up on the YouTube channel, and they will be on the Global Fact YouTube channel shortly as well. So we'll have three or four different locations on the net where you can actually listen to the archive shows. But for now, they all reside on the Global Fact Radio archives. You can, from the first episode that Dean did right up till now.
I believe we actually linked them already onto the website as well on at deanclifford.info. So they are linked to there as well. So
you must have done that while I was in Cuba. I wasn't aware of that.
I believe so, actually. The fellow that's helping me, not helping me, the fellow that is doing it, and he's trying to help me to learn how to get on there and start posting blogs and new videos so that I'm not completely incompetent. He actually did all this while I was gone to Saskatchewan for 4 or 5 days. I came back, and there was graphics on the website, and there's, like, links to shit, and I'm going through there, and I was like, oh, man, this looks fucking good now. So now we just need some new material and new videos, so we're going to get to that.
Do you want to give the URL to the website again? Because like I said, I don't have the chat room open, so I cannot post it for our readers.
Oh, yeah, I made sure it was real simple. It's deanclifford.info. And deanclifford.ca is going to link to that right away. So I'll make sure I got we got a brand out there, so it's not hard to find. No catchy phrases, no shit, I don't even know what you call that. Where you try to come up with something really clever to call the website that's profound and deep. It's not. It's just everybody knows my name that wants to learn this stuff, so that's the name of the website.
Well, I think it's the best branding you can think of, really.
It's simple. It's not an ego thing. It's just that's the easiest way. Whoa, what was that website of Dean's again? Oh, yeah, it's his name. Okay, well, that's easy enough. So, and I'm not trying to be witty.
Now?
Yeah, might as well go to the questions. Oh, but there's one last thing, I guess, was for books. So everybody has months and months and months of reading now, and they can comment on the website, actually, and send mail and stuff like that, and there'll be a forum up there right away and all sorts of good stuff. Trust law. Find a good Canadian trust law book. Trusts, estates, the roles of all the people within a trust or an estate. If the person is a trust in an estate and you want to learn how to manage it better, or you want to sit back and let other people manage it for you, which is the entire purpose of a trust, and you want to be able to set that all up, then get a book on it and read it. It's all there. There is nothing hidden from us. They're just counting on our apathy and our complacency. They're counting on human nature. Okay, so let them down. Let them down very hard. And go and learn this stuff and read and prove 10,000 years of recorded history wrong, that you can actually get yourself up off the couch and go and try to better your own life. And not, and then you don't have to rely on what Dean is saying on Monday's Global Fact Radio for much longer. Because I have a life I'd like to get to, and I'd like people to become much better than this than me. Okay, questions.
Okay, first question. What if you wish to show your displeasure with a less than honorable contract or incorrect representation due to errors, a.k.a. the driver's license? Such errors may include two persons sharing one driving record, multiple driver license numbers, a conviction based on a fine based on someone else's driving history, paid by someone else. What if you documented it? Okay, well, I guess this is a two-part question here. What if you documented a changing of class of persons or status, creditor to trustee, for example, and you did not enjoy the change done, normally done without your knowledge, a.k.a. criminal court proceedings, would marking?
Well, I would say if the driver licensing place is not carrying out what you've instructed them to do, maybe they're unable, I don't know, they don't want to reply to you, you've defaulted them through an administrative process, your only real recourse at that point is to take it to a civil court for an order for them to alter the records. And then that's where it would come in handy to learn how to draft a civil claim, right? And take that there and provide all your evidence. And you got to remember, these branches of the government must obey the judicial branch when they're given an order. That's why there's different branches of government. They're all supposed to be self-regulate one another. So do all your paperwork there administratively. Contact them and give them an opportunity to correct the record or whatever it is you want to do. And I'm not going to tell people what to do. Whatever it is you want to do, and know what you want to do first, contact them, give them the chance, second notice, third notice, then let them know that they're damaging you and you're going to have to take them to civil court to for an order to change the record and financial compensation for harming you and pissing you off and wasting your time and a bunch of other crap. I don't know. So that's, again, what do you want to do and where do you want to take the person? So if you're trying to correct a driver's license to show that you're a man and that statutes don't apply to you, they're going to know you have no clue what you're talking about because it's impossible for a driver's license to refer to a man because a man doesn't need a driver's license. And a driver's license is purely statutory in nature, which means that it can only exist in statutes. Common law cannot possibly apply to something created in statutes. And third of all, I had another thing I was going to say that. In the end, it's not your property anyways. It's the property of the province.
Which you've mentioned that many times before as well.
Yes. Yeah. And they know that. If they can ask for it back, then it's not yours.
Okay, next question by Lee. Hi, Dean. I am looking to buy some land and property. It would be mortgaged, but nothing too heavy. What sort of things would you suggest I look out for in a deal, like bulletproof clauses to add or try and have removed to the sale contracts to show as the sole, no strings attached owner, etc., etc. I'm looking to build myself an earthship style secondary dwelling on the land, but I am not in the slightest bit interested in the planning permissions, etc. Any pointers?
Yeah, well, with a mortgage contract, make sure you actually read it. And if you're well-versed enough at that point to not like something in the contract, you can box it out or cross it out that you don't agree to that. But then you got to remember that the bank doesn't really have to do the mortgage either. Then they can just say, well, they won't accept this if you've crossed this part out. Unless you have enough cash saved up to buy a house and you have to use a bank, this isn't a tough one. Just make sure that you don't live beyond your means and you make enough money to pay back the mortgage until you learn enough to maybe go fight the mortgage when you realize what's going on with mortgages. Just make sure you can make your payments is the only real homework you got to do. Can we afford to do this no matter what? Worst case scenario, if we never, ever want to go after a bank and we want to actually maintain a credit rating and we just kind of don't really care if the bank is making a lot of money off of us because we wouldn't have got the house without it. And worst case scenario, we had to pay this mortgage back over the next 10 or 15 years. Well, that's not a bad worst case scenario. You just became 99% of the population. Just pay the frickin' thing back. Just make your damn payments then. And you get a house or land or whatever it is. The big problem comes in, I guess, when you're registering the land with land titles. You want to make sure that the land is registered properly, I guess you could say, and then you want to make sure that that your lien interest is secured properly. Like I've noticed recently on one of my land title certificates there that somebody slipped in there that I think they're claiming that the land is a Crown grant. Meaning if the Crown granted it, the Crown has status to impose conditions on whatever they grant. Well, that's not my understanding of the deal. My understanding of the deal was that when I bought it, it was fee simple absolute, and here's my definition. So simple things like that, because if the municipality or the county is going to start coming around telling you you need a permit to build or other nonsense, you want to be prepared for all that, and this is where the learning comes in. This is where you want to be able to say, oh, apparently you want to contract with me. Okay, well, you can't force me to contract with you, so you present me with an offer, and I'll get back to you with my terms and conditions, and we'll see if we can come to some kind of an arrangement here. You got to remember, when you do contract with a city or a municipality to inspect a house, it's not really necessarily a bad thing, especially if you reserve all your rights and you establish that the only purpose of this contract is to make sure that it conforms with building standards, commonly accepted building standards, and nothing else. That is it. And that way you've limited it to anything that's expressed right in there saying, well, yeah, you're just agreeing that these people have the authority to come on and just say, well, you know, no, this isn't to code, do this or do this. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. The fees, well, in the end, it actually turns out that what's happening is the municipality or the county or the city that's doing the inspection, they're assuming all liability for that structure being built correctly. That's not exactly a bad thing either. Because that, you know, for insurance purposes, if you want insurance, all that kind of stuff, you may want that. If you plan on reselling the house and the other people have to, whoever's going to buy it needs to get a mortgage, unless that thing has been inspected and approved, they can't get a mortgage. So really, that's kind of a dumb fight to make if you're shooting yourself in the foot because you'll never be able to sell the house after that. All things to consider. I'm not going to tell people which way to go on that. Property taxes is another fight altogether. That's something else, and that wasn't part of the question, so we won't get into that. I hope that was kind of an answer, but for the most part, the same thing as a driver's license. If the worst thing that happens to you in life is that you have to have a driver's license and pay $50 a year for it, and then you have to do the speed limit, life is really not that bad. That is not a fight worth making. So if the worst thing that happens to you with a mortgage is that you have to make the payments for the next 10 years, then just make the damn payments, okay? Don't buy a TV. Don't get a cable subscription. Get rid of all the stupid, stupid payments out of your life, and a bank mortgage suddenly becomes pretty affordable. Not only that, get rid of CRA. Stop paying income taxes. Stop filing income taxes. There's your house mortgage payment right there. That's a better fight, because I hate those bastards. And I told them I would ruin them if it took me the rest of my life until the day I die. Or until they come to me and they ask for my forgiveness for being such assholes back in the day. And I grant them forgiveness, and then I tell them, okay, I will now stop telling people how to fight you. Until either one of those comes, people are going to learn all about how to fight CRA.
Well, I guess you're gonna be—I guess you're gonna be teaching how to fight CRA for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you know what? Not even CRA agents don't file taxes anymore. They're the worst culprits. So that whole thing is coming down there. But that's another topic for another day.
Okay, next one is not really a question. It's more of a statement, but it pertains to contracting through the person. This Christopher says, Dean, I studied your video series from July 2011. In September 2011, I contracted through my person with counsel regarding an upcoming fluoridation. I established a continuation from 10 questions I had asked them in a letter February 2009. They answered my question 1 in a face-to-face September 2011. My contract is $1,000 per day for damages should they proceed with fluoridation, which they did from November 19, 2012. I realized that council was in fact a township community, and now through studying the how-to series, I realized I was correct. I was correct, clarified by you about the assumed capacity as officers, that the township is populated entirely by officers of the government. Maybe my contract is far-fetched, but I felt I had no other choice but to do the best I could to prevent the far-fetched situation of being dosed against my consent. A meeting organized outside of council about our water supply will take place in February 2013. I don't understand and haven't been confident with the core system to pursue my contract yet. I'm trying to get 12 of us to assure director/administrator roles in our trusts and maybe form a court to arrest fluoridation. Chris from New South Wales, Australia.
That would be a tough contract to enforce. I don't dissuade people from doing that. If nothing else, you're causing enough problems. They may just choose to stop fluoridating the water, and that is a very big issue, water fluoridation. But that would be something that you probably could take to a civil court, because that is an injury. They are damaging you. The only defense to that is, well, don't drink the water. We never said that we have to provide you with drinking water. Could be a claim they try to come back at you with. I really don't know. This is all speculation at this point. But they are harming you. It is ultimately your water. It's your resource. It's your utility. But we're talking democracy now. We're talking public policy. We're talking the will of the people. They're trying to make it look like the will of the people is to have fluoride in the water because it's good for your teeth, and they're just acting with the will of the people, which was the office they were created under or whatever, you know. Oh, well, you all voted and we're in office now and everybody wants us to fluoridate the water, so we're fluoridating the water, which is a nonsense argument because no one ever asked for that. They just started doing it and told us it was good for us. Fight that. Try to commercially lean them. Go after them, tell them you'll forgive the debt if they stop fluoridating the water. If people want fluoride in the water, they can add it into the water in their own home. They can go get a little jar of fluoride and add it to the water. Because a proper argument would be it's medicating you without your consent. That would be a very good cause of action to take to... can I put you on pause there for 1 second there, Tony?
Sure, go ahead.
Can I even do that? Hang on here. Mute. Yeah, I'm just going to be right back, okay?
Okay, well, Dean has got us on hold here. I just want to inform our listeners that this coming Sunday, the 16th, we have our show with Foster Gamble, the maker of the movie Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take? That's this Sunday on Conscious Living, which will air at 3 p.m. Pacific, at 6 p.m. Eastern. So we'd love to have you on the show. If you have questions you'd like to ask Foster Gamble, you're more than welcome to call into the show and ask the questions live. Or you can send me the questions to tony@globalfact2012.com. So that's this Sunday on Conscious Living. The other thing I want to let you know as well is that I haven't been here the last 2 weeks because I've been on vacation in Cuba, but I understand that we missed 1 week of Dean's show, and if there was an inconvenience to anybody, I apologize for that. But I'm not going to feel that bad about it because I was on a white sandy beach in Cuba enjoying myself. So if you guys have any, I'm pretty much out of questions for tonight's show. If you guys have any more questions, please either send them to askdean@globalfact2012.com, or you can post them on the Facebook fan page, the Global Fact Facebook fan page, in the comments section underneath the posting for today's show. I apologize for sounding so nasal. I came back from Cuba with a nasty cold, and I'm still been trying to fight it ever since. To ask your questions, you can do so at 646-478-5728. Now, regarding this thing that me and Dean are working on, like he said, we're probably going to be able to launch it in the first week or second week of January. It's going to be something that I'm quite positive you guys would approve of and would like. There will be a monthly fee that you'd have to pay in order to gain the access to this information, but it would be kind of like a step-by-step process on how to do something. It would cover different topics, for example, how to write up a contract and so on. Although Dean is mentioning very strongly today that you get a book and read it, I'm going to work my best to convince him to provide a list of books to read in the course that we're going to be offering in January, as well as give kind of a summarized step-by-step process on how to contract. Also, on every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 p.m. Eastern, we also have our third radio show, weekly radio show called Truth Talk, hosted by Chance George and Paul Webster. It's kind of an open discussion about different topics from the killing of JFK to 9/11 to GMOs, fluoridation, vaccines. They usually cover different topics every week, and if you haven't checked out Truth Talk, it's probably a show that you want to check out. If there are any show hosts out there who would like to interview Dean or who would be interested in doing a simulcast on these weekly shows that we do with Dean, I'd be very interested, because I believe the larger the audience we reach, the more people learn this stuff, the easier it's going to be for us to make changes and change the way things are. So I know a couple of people posted some stuff on the Global Fact group about other show hosts. One person I think was from Ireland. So if there are people out there that do host their own show and they'd be interested in doing a simulcast, email me at tony@globalfact2012.com and with your phone number, and I can maybe call you if you are long distance, like across the pond in Europe or something. Maybe you can give me your Skype ID and we can have a video chat on Skype and discuss the detail of how we can do a simulcast. Okay, I'll take this opportunity to also thank the people who donated while I was away in Cuba. Before I left, I put a post on Global Fact discussion group about donating in order to keep the show going, to cover the costs. And some people did that. I wasn't able to thank you from Cuba, although I did get email notification of these donations. Unfortunately, if you haven't been to Cuba, yeah, one sec, Dean. If you haven't been to Cuba yet, the internet there is extremely slow, and it's extremely expensive as well. $10 for an hour, and took me a half hour just to connect. So I thank you right now for those who made donations, and back to you, Dean.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, it's not often you get a collect call from jail while you're on the radio. So. Let's see. Where were we? I can't remember.
Okay, well, you just finished. We're talking about the gentleman who wanted to do the contract regarding the fluoridation.
Yeah. Medicating the water supply without your consent. I mean, they're illegally medicating you without your consent, because fluoride is a form of medication. What you should do is get all the research together and the facts concerning how poisonous fluoride is, and then take that into your local court for a civil claim against your local government, because it turns out they're actually poisoning you willfully. Provide them with all the information, and let them start to raise awareness about it. It'll be really tough just to arbitrarily say, yeah, you guys are fluoridating the water, it's going to be $1,000 a day, and then take that anywhere and be able to enforce it. That'd be much, much tougher than proving that it's actually poison and that the government's putting it in the water. It's not healthy for you. They don't have the consent or the will of the people. Go get a petition signed if you want from locals in the area to show that it's definitely not the will of the people. So they're lying, which could be a breach of trust right there as well. So, because they're supposed to be carrying out the will of the people. If that's not the will of the people, then that's their only defense, and that turns out to be a lie. So, get creative with it. Hell, somebody might think up something completely new and send us notice of what they did, and I'll be like, oh shit, that was a friggin' great idea. Okay, that's it for that one.
Okay, now Dean, you're gonna have to help me out here. As you know, I was away for the last 2 weeks. I'm gonna ask you some of these questions that were sent to the email I set up for you. Ask Dean at globalfact2012.com. They don't pertain to today's topic, but you let me know if when you did the show with Chance, if he asked you these questions or not, okay?
Okay.
All right. The first one is, do you recommend expatriating if you live in the United States? Was that asked to you on the last show?
Sorry, say it again?
Do you recommend expatriating if you live in the United States?
Well, if you're a resident of the United States, then you are a foreigner, because the United States is a foreign corporation. So if you are a resident of the United States of America, you are a foreigner. And that's how they strip you of your citizenship, your constitutional citizenship. It's funny, somebody just had a posting on my wall today earlier about that, about how, let's see if I can actually find that, you know, those little billboard things that people have now with writing on it, and they had on here, just one sec here, it's going to take me 2 seconds to find it, neener, 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 or maybe not. Okay. Supreme Court, giving non-U.S. residents constitutional rights. Yes. Giving child rapists the death penalty? No. And I commented on there, said non-U.S. residents are the only people protected by the Constitution. Residents are foreigners with no rights because the U.S. is a foreign corporation. We've been over this ad nauseum, laugh out loud. That was my comment on the post. So, yeah, they couldn't have said it more right with this little poster there about the Supreme Court giving non-U.S. residents constitutional rights. That's an accurate statement. That's the only people that have constitutional rights are the non-U.S. residents that live in the landmass, the Constitutional Republic. So I don't know about expatriating, maybe leaving the democracy, we've spoken about this, and going back to the constitutionally created republic and sending notice of that, and maybe letting the IRS know. There's probably a change of residency form where you can let them know that you are now a legal alien. I don't know, a non-resident alien. That sounds pretty good. I did a show a while back. It was probably on Angela Stark there. It was probably on Talk Show, one of the first shows I ever did, where I said, look, I said, all these people are pissed off in the southern United States at all these illegal Mexican immigrants that seem to be able to do whatever they want. They can drive with no driver's license. They're not charged with any crimes. They just have, they get free health care, free education. They get free everything. They get the best health care. And everybody's pissed right off about this. And they're madder than hell. And I laughed and I said, well, it sounds pretty good. You should be asking how to become one.
They can't
be deported. They get free education, free health care. They can drive without a driver's license, without insurance, and they can't be charged. Well, that's what I'm looking for. How do I become one? Well, they're non-resident aliens. Now, the difference is, if you're born on that land, you have every right to be there. Your live birth record says, no, I was born here. I have the right to be here and be a non-resident alien. So they can't even, where are they going to deport you to? Mars? So, start thinking about this. Okay, next.
Okay. Next, we're going to take a question from a live caller. It looks like a person from British Columbia. Area code 604, ending in 1354. Your name, please?
Frank.
Frank, you have a question for Dean?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I have a comment and also a question. I'm going to have to turn this one off over here because not in sequence, the internet and the, what you call, telephone call.
There's a delay, yeah.
Pardon?
There's a delay, yes.
Yeah. My comment was, today, as I was listening to his tape, I'm fighting City Hall for a bylaw infraction, and the city lawyer phoned me, and I filed my fee schedule with them, so I revealed them to them. I said, do you understand? I'm charging this much for it. And they said, you still want to talk to me? The guy said, well, I was going to be only a minute. I said, even for 1 second, this is my charges. Oh, maybe some other time. So it was just beautiful. But anyway, so I'm upholding my charges, but I'm taking them to a civil court. How good is my fee schedule stands up in the civil court if I take the city and the employers, because they all, what they call the bylaw officers and whatever, they acted outside of their jurisdiction, obviously, because the law doesn't apply to me. And I want to, recoup my fee schedule because so many times they contacted me and I would just keep billing them and now they're in default because, of course, they never paid me any. And so how good is my fee schedule stands up? It's served by registered mail, you know, and on claim of rights in the civil court. That's my question.
It should stand up very well. Just make sure you get everything in your statement of claim. Attach everything as exhibits in your statement of claim to your affidavit. And registered mail receipts, photocopies of that, certificate of delivery. Put it all in there. Absolutely. And I think there's a very good chance that they won't even reply to the lawsuit. And if you kept the fee schedule down and kept it and try to keep it in small claims, you'll probably win hands down on that day. It's only when you start getting into millions of dollars that things are ridiculous.
Yeah.
You win once, you win small, and they probably will never ever mess with you again.
Yeah. Now, taking it further, because my hourly rate is $2,000 an hour. And they invited to their meetings, and I said, fine, give me the $100,000, and I'll come. And, of course, they didn't, but I didn't show, but they did it over phone. And I was just as sick as Tony was, and, you know, there is this real asshole pit bull wanted to chew me out. Where did I get my stuff? He wanted to know, you know, how much I paid for it. And I said, what's your point? I said, what are you talking about? And anyways, I like to put some other thing beside my hourly rate is, you know, like harming me and, you know, affecting, harming me. And I don't think as a civil court can hear liability.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
They can?
Of course they can. And especially if he was intimidating you on the phone, if he's yelling at you and trying to make you feel intimidated into answering him, well, that's intimidation, and intimidation is not a very good one either.
Mm-hmm.
And harassment now as well.
Yeah, and also when I pointed out to him the section 32, he said that's your interpretation of the law, guilty.
That's what he said.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly. Said it doesn't apply to me. It's my interpretation of the law. And I couldn't even put my in it. It's already a case law, so you're bound by it. But, that was ended right there. So they have
send them a copy of the Heritage Canada website on Section 32.
I know your work. I'm following your work. But I had a couple of ideas, but I'd like to bounce at you. You know, practically, if this works, you can bankrupt the city by basically everybody would go back on property taxes and reclaim them for whatever lengths you've been paying to them and all the fines they have collected because it's a fraud. So if it's a fraud, you know, you could bankrupt the goddamn.
Yep. Well, I don't want to bankrupt them. And they're operating in bankruptcy anyways. What we want them to do is we want them to start doing their jobs. That's all I want. I don't want them to go bankrupt. I don't want them to die. Even though I probably said that a couple of times. I don't want to destroy them. I want them to start doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't need to extort money from us to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Okay? What happens is they'll have to downsize, and they'll have to start acting within the scope that they were created for instead of being these all-powerful institutions, and that's our goal.
Yeah. Now, would I file on the civil court basically against the city or the city and the mayor and the manager, or the bylaw officer manager? Because they will
name them jointly and severally in the lawsuit.
Okay.
Jointly and severally. Name them all together, jointly and severally. The name of the agents that did it. The city is obviously the principal party.
I only have his badge number, and he would not give me any information off of him, the name.
Yeah, call him John Doe in the lawsuit, number one, and a badge number.
That's what I did. That's how I've been referring to him. They will not show their liability insurance, what they call bonds. They will not give it. Under the public information, I said, okay, give me this. They will not come forward with anything.
Yeah, well, if you've got a badge number, it's pretty much, generally accepted they have a bond.
Yeah.
And the city's holding that.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Them not giving you a name, that is serious. They're concealing their identity. So that's another charge you should put in there.
Okay, concealing.
That's civil. It doesn't need to be criminal. Again, they won't hear a criminal charge in civil. But you can just, so don't quote a criminal code charge.
Okay.
Just charge him civilly with concealing a public servant concealing his identity. Mm-hmm. Literally call it that. That's part of your damage, is that these civil servants now, public servants, are harassing you, failing to identify themselves.
Yeah.
They're concealing their identity, and they're intimidating you, and they're calling you and harassing you.
Oh, well, they already took me to their court, you know, in my absence, and I refused to go until they paid my bill. Like I said, you know, instead of me going there, they just phoned me up.
Well, and that, but they took you to their provincial court, right?
No, the city hall has its own settling. It doesn't belong to the provincial court, to the city hall.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's garbage. It's nothing then. Okay.
That's what I thought.
That's nothing. But put that in your civil claim when you take it, that you want whatever crap that they did in their own little internal tribunal to be, I don't even know what the proper word is. Quashed, stricken from the record, removed, because they'll probably try to attach that on land titles now. So.
Yeah. It involves a dog, and you know, they want to create him into a vicious dog, and supposedly, my dog bit somebody, but the person who claims it, they couldn't come up with any hard evidence, like Dr. Bill or anything. All this is just a complaint form, and they edited the thing. They will not reveal who it is. There's no bills. It's not an evidence, okay? No sworn statement, right? And they're trying to tell me that's the evidence and I have to accept it. And I said, no, thank you. I said, that's not an evidence.
Hey, if they can make you believe their bullshit, then it stands. That's the end of it.
Well, Dean, thank you very, very much. And I really following your work for many, many years. And I hope you go and like your website and like to contribute some of my ideas with you. I'm learning from you, but I also learned some other stuff on it. So my name is Frank, and I'm from BC, and I would like to get hold on you. If off air, would you like to give me another? I can talk to you, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, try through the .info website. We're going to have a forum up there eventually. I'll be checking that. So that's a good one to check in with.
.info?
Yeah, the DeanClifford.info website. It's going to be a better one to try to get a hold of me through. There'll be other people on there that are going to be moderating things, but that'll be the better one.
Yeah, but thanks a million, Dean, and good luck again, and I'd be happy to donate too.
Oh, hey, it sounds good. Everything's appreciated, and I just like the fact that people are waking up and want to educate themselves. That's payment in itself.
Yes, thank you very much, and have a nice one.
All right, thanks. You too, bud.
Okay, thank you, Frank. All right, our next question, Dean, and we're down to our last 11 minutes here, so let's try to keep the answers as short as we can so we cover as many of the questions as possible. Question from David Grissom. What is the ramifications of living in the U.S. system as compared to Canada's? I have a social security number, driver's license, marriage license, etc. How screwed am I?
Well, they're all things that have to be undone if you want to get out of them. Again, as it was done, so it shall be undone. If you went down to, see, people used to bundle all these things together and just, like, send them back to the, I don't know, the friggin' receiver general for Canada and say, here, I don't want this crap no more. you got every single one of those individually. Just bundling them together with an elastic and sending them back is not going to help. Marriage contract, again, now you're getting into contract law. Learn why it's not a real contract or how to get out of that one. That's one of the toughest ones. If you are married and you and your wife just decide that you want to nullify that marriage contract because you don't want to be married before the government, you just want to be wedded before God, holy matrimony, whatever, you can both just agree to cease being parties of the contract. And then the government has full arbitrary mediation authority in any dispute in that marriage contract. Well, if there's no dispute and both parties simply want to just terminate the contract, that pretty much gets rid of that one. There's all sorts of ways to attack the marriage contract. Number one, if you'd known the terms of and the conditions imposed by the government, which means binding arbitration in any dispute, you never would have signed that. There was lack of disclosure. I don't know what the valuable consideration could possibly be in a marriage contract. What the government is offering you is a consideration, which means them being able to shackle you and you must obey their every whim in court if there's a dispute, if that's considered consideration, you could just say, well, I don't consider that to be consideration. I don't think that's fair fair consideration in this contract, me being bound by anything ridiculous the government says in any dispute. All sorts of ways to attack that. The driver's license, again, if that's really one you want to start attacking, contact the government and try to get them to change the record as to who you are with regards to the person. Start with something like that and just play around with it and have some fun. The social insurance number, social security number, that is definitely a problem. They definitely view you as the wrong entity, the wrong status, the wrong capacity, because you probably checked off the resident box on your application form. Residents of the United States of America are foreigners to this land. So you may want to change that, correct the record, start with that. Attack each of them separately and don't just send them back and say, here, you can have these back. That's not the proper way to get rid of something that you applied for and you asked for. So, and make sure you get your filing fee back too, or your $20 back, like license plates or anything else. If you paid $40 for something, then you want $40 back when you return it. Just to be a dick.
Just to be that.
Yep. Yep, for no other reason.
Okay. Alex asks, if you can only hear statutes in court, how do you bring up trust law?
Oh, no. There's remember the types of court. In provincial court or... Let me see, because it's not provincial court everywhere. Like down the States and whatnot. Obviously, we're doing a Canadian show here. So in provincial court... Like, for instance, where they take you on traffic charges, anywhere, like even bylaw violations from a city or property taxes, they always take you to provincial court. It's a statutory court, and it only hears statutory at the first level. At the appeals level, it'll hear higher forms of law, but it's really only kind of bound to statutory court. When you get into civil court, like Queen's Bench, Superior Court, those kind of courts, oh, no, no. It's whatever law you bring into it. And then there's higher courts than that yet that don't even recognize statutes at all, because statutes are garbage. They are the pig swill of the legal world. They're nothing. They are absolute nothing. They don't even really exist. So, no, it depends what court you're in. Again, they won't hear common law arguments in the first level of provincial court because they can only hear statutes. Same with small claims court. Small claims court, from what I understand, operates solely inside statutes, which is why they can streamline small claims court. So if you're coming in with some kind of a civil claim, unfortunately in small claims court, from what I understand, and I could be wrong on that, they only hear statutes. So it depends on what kind of court you're in, so you may want to research that. But for sure, it operates the mostly the way that I just described there.
Okay. Next question. I think we'll only have time maybe for one or two more. Good evening, Dean. Thanks to you and your host for taking the time and patience. I have encountered, and I'm anticipating more encounters of, call it jealousy, those that feel not paying our fair share of taxes means we should not be entitled to have use of roads and hospitals and such. How have you handled this?
Very simply. Logic and knowledge of the topic. If you want to embarrass people real quick, when they come up with ridiculous claims like that that they can't back, number one, you can go on the attack right away and just say, excuse me, are you claiming that income taxes pay for roads and hospitals? Well, based on what? Where'd you get your information from? Or are you just assuming that? Because you've never done any research into the topic, you have no idea what you're talking about, you were busy watching Dancing with the Stars or American Idol for the last 10 years, and you have no clue, so you automatically assume that income taxes go directly towards hospitals and roads. Right, so you go on the attack like that, and you kind of make them feel stupid. Number one, for making assumptions, and then you can follow up saying, well, you know what? I have done my research, and gasoline taxes pay for roads. And having said that, 90% of gasoline taxes get stolen by the government, and no one knows where they go because they go to contracts that don't exist to corporations owned by government ministers. 10% of the gasoline taxes they collect actually go towards infrastructure, maintaining roads, and building new ones, which means 90% gets stolen and only 10% goes to what they're going to go, what it's supposed to go towards. Right? And start with that and say, and having said that, hospitals, education, and health are all supposed to be paid by excise taxes by importing and exporting tariffs on corporations and goods sold and crossing our borders. But they did away with those. Now corporations can bring all that shit in for free without paying taxes, like Walmart. So they try to shoulder that on us instead, which is a con job. And just get into it with them and try to then phrase it in ways that they're actually going to get mad about it now and say, what? Because if you got to remember, right or wrong, if it sounds like you know what you're talking about, well, maybe you do. Oh, well, you kind of sound like you know what you're talking about, and then get them just as mad as you, right? The only way to win people over is to be knowledgeable on a topic, but I recommend actually quoting real numbers and statistics, which I'll have you know I actually just did quote real numbers and statistics. 90% of the gasoline taxes that are collected go missing and are stolen. The other 10% pays for all road maintenance and construction, which means that if that 90% came off at the pump that gets stolen, we'd be paying half the price we pay for our gasoline.
But also, aren't hospitals and schools paid for by property taxes?
No. Not that I'm aware of, and they're not supposed to be. If you look into what taxes are supposed to pay for health care and all that kind of stuff, it's supposed to be importing and exporting tariffs and excise taxes, which, interestingly enough, they do refer to the Income Tax Act as an excise tax. How in the frick did it become an excise tax?
I like to attempt an answer at that. I think somebody told me that once before. It's because you are, which all ties into your social insurance number, the second word being insurance, is that you bought an insurance policy, which you're paying a premium for, although the terms of the policy were not disclosed to you, and it was not, well, we're never given an option to accept or not. So
or
that's
opt-out,
the,
yep.
So that's the thing that you're paying taxes for.
Yep. Well, again, if you're a foreigner, you have to be insured to be working here because you might damage one of the citizens, one of the people. As a resident, you're a foreigner. So I guess you do need insurance. I could see that as being valid, but that's also a scam. You're trying to tell me that they can't come up with an honest taxation system, an apportioned tax, where they say, this pays for this. If they did that, I would pay it. But they've got to connive, and it's all got to be done in secret. It's got to be scumbag, which tells me that we wouldn't have to... Could you imagine if taxes just went to what they were supposed to go towards? We'd probably have a 5% income tax rate in Canada. Guess what? I would pay that if I knew it went towards the services. But the point is, taxes are supposed to be raised by importing, exporting tariffs, that kind of stuff, when all these massive mega corporations bring in all these goods they're selling in our stores. They're supposed to pay taxes on that when they bring them in. Not only that, when like the Alberta tar sands and stuff like that, when they're ripping all our resources out of the ground and they're cutting trees down and they're raping this planet for all it's worth, where's all that money going? That's supposed to pay for these things. Not us. Not a tax on our wage, right? That all that money gets stolen. Where does it go? Where do these billions upon billions upon billions of dollars go that they need to tax our income?
Okay, Dean, I'm going to have to cut you off here because we're down to our last 30 seconds before the stream goes dead.
Yep.
So I want to thank our listeners again for tuning in. This archive will be up in about half hour from now. I'll post a link to it on the Global Facts group and fan page. Dean, do you have the topic for next Monday's show?
Ah, shit. You know what? I don't.
I'll get it from you.
I didn't think it, but it's been a busy week here, and I just got home.
I'll get it from you and post on the site later. Okay,
yeah.
So this is it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're down to the last 3 seconds. Thank you all for listening, and have a good night.
All right. Night, everybody.